Get him set up here. Let me just pray over you. Is that all right?
Yes.
All right, get your digital life together. I'm not pointing fingers, man. I do the same thing. Nobody is. Wonder what John Wesley did about soundboards and iPads. Wonder how they caused the Reformation with that. Hallelujah. I just felt during the worship the Lord just tell me, or just show me, that this last year you have been on ice. Now that sounds weird. Let me explain. Ice in the sense that you've just been at home the whole time with your church. And I just felt the Lord, and you had mentioned that to me 2 weeks ago when I was there. But I was just sitting there, I just heard the Lord said, I've had him on ice there. Not ice like you're frozen, but ice like, this is where you were supposed to be. You couldn't move anywhere else because you needed to be there. For your church, but also for yourself. But I just saw, during worship, I saw that the ice had already melted all the way down to your waist, and it was like the steam coming off. And he's saying, I'm taking him off of ice, throwing him out, and that that sounds like you've been dead. I don't mean it that way. It's for movement. It's like your feet for movement. And I just felt the Lord say, this year you used to travel a lot, and he just put it on ice, didn't he? And I just saw this year the movement's going to increase again. I don't understand all the reasons, but this last year he wanted you at home.
Amen.
What all that means. And so, Father, we just thank you for increased influence, increased movement. And Father, I thank you for his faithfulness to stay where you planted his feet. And his faithfulness to stay at his home. Father, because the body of Christ needs his gift. And I thank you that he is thawing out. And or a better word, I guess, is being released to go back out again. But I saw what I saw. And so, Father, we just thank you for him in Jesus' name.
Oh, you already did. Thank God I was frozen in the Word. Amen. This is my lovely wife, Renee. Stand up.
Hallelujah.
Tell everybody. Amen.
Yeah.
And I so much appreciate Craig and his leadership coming down. He brought a group the time before, July, yeah.
Tiffany came, and Mike came,
and Lubo came. We had a good time. The Lord blessed us. Amen. So, amen. Okay, Father, we thank you, Lord, for what you want to do today. Amen. We want to be led by the Spirit, God. So, Lord, we thank you for helping us and showing us what to do, God. Lord, at least I know what I'm going to preach. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. That's a big one right there. Amen. So, hallelujah. So, Lord, we just thank you for your mercies, your grace, your kindness toward us, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Just look out here a little bit, see if the Lord wants me to minister to somebody. Just straighten them out a little bit. Amen. Funny one last night was Mike. He was probably the funniest. We met. That's right. Paying you back, buddy. Amen. Well, I did. I'll just say this. Last night, I had a word for you, but you left, so you missed God. But you didn't miss God because you're back. So I'm going to pray. I know this is your wonderful husband here. Amen. So, Father, I just lift this couple up to you, God. And I just want to, what's your name? Shelly. Thank God for Shelly. Amen. Shelly, I just want you to know, because it seems like, and the Lord wants you to know, because sometimes the way you look at yourself and you don't feel like you achieve much, but the Lord says that you've taken another step into his plans and his purposes. And even in this year, he's going to give you understanding. And it's almost like a door is opening to where you'll have greater effectiveness. And it's almost like sometime last year that you really humbled yourself before the Lord, and that God just, it was almost like, but you didn't hear. Well, the Lord says this year you're going to begin to hear, not that you couldn't hear before, because you can always hear because you're his sheep, but because of the growth process that he's taken in your life, you're going to find what you do and how you do it, that there's going to be fruit, because the truth is, you were in a season where God was pruning you. Huh. There you go. Amen. And it's like the Lord says the season's over. And so begin to enjoy, amen, the fruit that's going to come forth. And Lord, I thank you that I just see it coming forth in both of their lives, God, in the name of Jesus. And the Lord says, son, I have much for you to do. Don't think that I've left you out of the picture. And that you're useful in my kingdom. This is kind of different. Let me just say this. God uses you in your church, in the church here. God uses you by the things you do. But you're really, the Lord's emphasis on your life is to be used outside in the world, in the situations you're in. And you're just going to have to learn to have a voice for him. God wants to use your voice to speak up and say things to people's lives that would impact them, that would get them thinking about the kingdom of God, get them even thinking about God, thinking about Jesus, who he is. And so I see where the Lord's going to begin to challenge you to speak up. There's the word, speak up. And sometimes it'll be just in the things that you do. It'll be just in the things that saying a kind word, saying when you see things. It's almost like you see injustices happening around you. And God said, you're going to speak into some of those things to bring peace into people's lives. And so the Lord says he's going to use you even to a greater degree outside the church than in the church, because he wants his kingdom established throughout this land. And we thank you for doing it, God, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. So I got a word for you. Speak up. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. You're all a blessing. What's your name?
Cindy.
I got a sister named Cindy, so God help her know. Father, I thank you for Cindy, and I thank you for the place that you have in her life. Cindy, it's like I see some turmoil's been happening, some things have been going on, and you've just been asking the Lord for wisdom, crying out for understanding, and the Lord said he has heard your cry, he has heard your prayer, and that the Father's going to begin to give instruction. And let me just say this, you need to quit blaming yourself for some things that have happened, same things that have went on, and the Lord says it's not your fault. Amen. You know what? Here's the thing about God that's so wonderful. When you repented, he forgot about it. And he says he's going to give you steps in order to forget about some things that the enemy still wants to take hold of your life and do, and to make you just feel like you're unworthy, you're not welcome, you don't have a place. And God says, you have a place in me. In fact, God said, since the beginning of time, I made a place just for you in me. There's the anointing. Lord, we just take every bit of guilt. Lord, every bit of thing, accusation that the enemy puts against my sister, Cindy, God. And we just thank you, Lord. Ooh, just washing her, cleansing her, God, that she can put her hand to the plow and move forward. God says, this is a season for you to move forward. This is a season for you to look ahead to what all that God has for you, the goodness of the Lord that he would have for you. And I thank you, Lord, for doing it in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. You got anything, hon? Are you sure? Well, I might have to pray over you. Amen. Try to be obedient. Now, you all married or anything, or just friends?
No,
just friends, okay. You married?
No, sir.
No, sir. You want to get married?
Sure.
All right. Anybody volunteers? We have any volunteers? You have to be single. Now, what was your name again? I know you told me.
Shane.
All right. Well, maybe you didn't tell me. I don't know. Father, I thank you for Shane. I thank you for his heart. And Shane, what I see is it's almost like you've been stuck in mud. You know how, if you ever driven a car and you kind of get stuck and you press on the gas and your wheels turn, but you don't go anywhere. And sometimes you don't feel like you've been going anywhere. But the Lord says it's all a part of my plan and my purpose that he has for your life. And that he is, you're not spinning your wheels, but God is training you, and he's having you in a season where you're having to use your spiritual muscles. Amen. It's a season where you're having to walk by faith. It's a season where God is stretching you. It's a season where it's almost like things around you, like, well, I'll put it this way. It's like you wouldn't have chose to do this and go this way, but God's had you go this way, and it's to stretch you. It's to so that you can use your spiritual muscles and so that you can walk into the things that God has for you. And there's spiritual giftings that God's placed in you, and that you need to, and there's training here in the church to teach you how to use those gifts and how to operate in them, and then how to, there is a teacher in you that God's going to bring out too, that you'll be able to teach, and God will use all that, and he'll bring it to pass. And so the basic, this is always a fun word, so the basic thing is, not only is he adding, he's asking, well, to keep walking in faith, but add to your faith patience. Amen. And as you add patience, you'll begin to see the promises and things that God's spoken to you come to pass. Amen. All right. Well, that was nice. That was fun. I love them patient words, don't you? Endure, patience. It's like, Lord, haven't I done it enough? Amen. But it's good. It's good. It's all good. It's like when you know, I don't know what people say, you know, I used to pray for patience. I don't pray anymore for that. I'm like, it's too late. God's going to give them to you whether you want them or not. You know, it's just going to, amen. Oh, well, I'll come back here and pray over him. He looks all smiling, happy. Maybe I can make you sad. No. What's your name, sir?
Randy Hedrick.
Randy, amen. Thank you for Randy. Randy, I just sense and just see that you've been going through a difficult time. And but it's like you keep a smile on your face. And I just see where the Lord is going to come in and bring encouragement. And there's going to be some help. And it's almost like I see where there's been some things that have been broken. And God said he's going to put them back together. And he's going to help you. This is a season of restoration for you. This new year is a season where God's going to begin to restore some things that were lost, and even some things that the enemy did against you to steal, kill, and destroy. I just see the Lord coming in. Amen. And it's been difficult, but I see that God's worked some muscles in you and shared some things with you. And here's the thing that I see, that you kept your heart open to him. That you kept your heart flexible. You kept it tender toward him. And God said he's going to reward that. That God's going to do a work in you. And there's some things ahead of you, some challenges ahead. But God just says, be faithful to me, and that there's place in the body for you. There's a place that God wants to use you in. And I see you're going to be very useful out in the world but that God wants to put a foundation under you so that you can take biblical principles out into the world to share them with others. And because you, it's almost like you've got an influence with people, and God even wants to, you to say things, do things, but he also wants to for you to give them biblical things, because there's people that you touch or you're that are confused about the word, confused about things in the Bible, and I just see where you can bring foundation to them and let them understand and know, so they won't be confused, so that they can move on in life. And so God says he's going to begin to move you on in this year into the things of God. And I thank you for it, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Yeah, go ahead.
Amen. Last night, well, actually it was yesterday over at the Busey's house, I got this one line, and so I quickly went and looked up for a notebook and wrote it down. It's kind of hits different things, but when I heard it's time to resist and swim upstream, I knew that was the gist of what it was. So I'm going to read this word and hopefully bring clarity with something spiritual that's happening in the world. It's time to resist and swim upstream. Though the natural flow of the current world carry you along, you are not natural. You are supernatural beings, my sons, my daughters. You have found yourself in a place, this might be some, might not be others, where you feel slightly disjointed, attached but not attached, slightly separated from the body. Though you still feel love for others, you don't feel as connected. Though a member of others, you will feel as if this, you feel if you continue to float on, you could easily just disconnect. And what I saw was like, you just let go and float, you gradually, gradually float till you find yourself by the door, and it's easy just to go out. And that's happened with some people. Even principles that were once rock solid foundational, you sometimes now question. Some examination is good, causing you to throw out some man-made ideas and other man's explanations of my simple truths. But on the other hand, there must be a retention of my truths. Even though they may be hard, I need no explanation, no softening of my hard truths, no conformity to modern times and ways, for my truth is eternal and unchangeable. There is no gray in the light. So go ahead and throw out the grays, but you're in danger if you leave your zealous, white-hot love of my eternal truth. You must resist the devil as the days grow more evil. The current grows swifter, and it is easy to just float along. But if you float too long, you'll find yourself in a lost place, separated, disjointed, apart, separate. It is the enemy's desire to conquer and divide. But resist him. Return. Be like the salmon who swims the oceans and yet follow the leading of the inward witness to the streams of their birth, their first love. They are driven by a strong force created in them from birth. Huge glaciers and snow-capped mountains begin to melt, causing streams that are rapid torrents. But the salmon resists the current and swims upstream, jumping even great waterfalls to reach the higher places, peaceful waters of its creator to sow its seeds. Wake up and quit floating. Watch, watch, watch. Don't be carried away by the world's thoughts. Sadly, many in churches look like, sound like, and act like the world. They worship comfort, no resistance, nothing that makes them uncomfortable, nothing that challenges. They want the feel-good, to be applauded and loved, in quotations, and accepted, to float along on a false sense of well-being. Wake up, resist, fight, watch. Many things must come, must change. I have already warned you. Don't be surprised. Don't be alarmed. Seek me. Trust me. So cry aloud for discernment to reject everything that does not align with my word. Fight the good fight. Glory days are coming and you will see. You will say, yes, oh, the glories. Sorry, tears. It was so worth it to fight, for now I reign in glory. I rejoice in you, O lover of my soul. Do not look to the world for acceptance. Do not try to fit in. Do not be moved by their sneering, mocking attitudes, their reviling of the pure and holy. If you try to fit in, to laugh along with their coarseness, they will only take it as a sign that you are just like them. They will not respect or honor you. They will not listen to you. You will need a backbone of steel, a resolve of only to please me. Lord, we receive your warning. We receive your clarity of things that are happening in the spiritual world, in the heavens, not your heavens, but the heavens, the spiritual wickedness in high places. We resist, Lord. We don't want to be carried away. We want to be intentional. Intentional to you, like the eagle that locks its sight. Lord, we just submit our hearts to you and say, do your work within us, Lord. Lord, we want to be faithful and true and strong to the end. We don't want to be lazy. We don't want to be complacent. And we don't want to be lovers of that which pets our flesh. Even though sometimes things hurt and they're hard, and to be a believer and true loving person in your kingdom, Lord, that's what we want. We submit ourselves to you, Lord. Help us to resist. Help us to be that salmon that seeks the higher places against the current, in Jesus' name.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Just let's stand for a minute and just worship the Lord for just a minute here. Habo shata reva kabo shanda. Lord jibasando robakita revan kabosan. Lord, let us be a people that go against the current of this world, God. Lord, I ask you to feel people that even in this place, Lord, that because of the rushing waters and the things that they've come against, God, that, Lord, that you would strengthen them today, God. Yes, Lord, we just lift our hands and say, God, strengthen us today, God, that we can swim up our river, God, the river that you put us in, Lord, that we'll swim, God, that we'll have purpose, Lord, that we'll know what we're doing, God, in Jesus' name. So, Lord, we lift our hands to you and surrender, but we thank you, God, that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us, God, in Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Strengthen us, Father, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Amen. You can be seated. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. My brother right back there in the black shirt with a little headband thing on. What's your name? Robert. Robert, you don't have to wander. You just got to say, God, where do I fit in, and what is it that I need to do? Because God, I saw that God wants to promote and use the things and the influence that you have with others for a godly purpose and for what he has. But you have to find a place of being equipped, being prepared, and submit to it. And so the Lord doesn't want you to just feel like you have to do it on your own or you have to do it yourself. But I just see a linking up. And I don't know if you go to church here or not. I don't know what's going on. But I just see a linking up and then a place of being teachable to find out just what it is, God, that you would have me to do. Because the truth is, all of us, if we're going to go places in God, we have to seek him to see how we just fit in. And I just see it's your season to seek God, because God's bringing adjustment. God's bringing some changes to your life, and it's been uncomfortable. I'll say this in the spirit, for you it's been uncomfortable, and it's because God's nudging you. is because God's making things uncomfortable to move you into His plans and purposes. Amen? So just seek. Lord, I'm asking, where do I fit? How do I couple in and link up? Because we all need to link up. Amen? There's no one, none of us can do it by ourselves. It's a body. Amen? And that's what this church is about. I think what we're going to do is we're going to go and we're going to, by grace, by faith, amen, we're going to read one book of the Bible today, and we'll start in Psalms chapter 1, and we'll move on. No. we're going to go, everybody, if you got a Bible, turn to Habakkuk. We're going to read the story of Habakkuk, and this morning, amazingly enough, the confirmation about me doing this was given, and so it was a blessing, and amen. So anyway, what I want to, and it's, and I'm not going to, we're just going to read it, and then I'm going to make some comments, but and the title of my sermon is Approaching God. How is it that we approach God? Okay? How is it that do we as a people, and you're like us, we're our church, we're, in fact, I don't know, there's not too much difference between yours and ours. But if we're wanting to be disciples, then we need to take steps. We move from glory to glory to glory, being transformed by the Spirit of God. And it's the problem is sometimes we don't move. Amen. And what I talked on last night was being obedient. Being obedient moves us into a greater glory.
Amen.
And so as we keep moving, and so what this is an awesome, well, really, until I got understanding about this book, I just would kind of read it and go, I don't get it. You know, and so how many's ever done that after you read the Bible? You're like, I don't get it. But thank God He gives us wisdom.
Yes.
And so we, as disciples, we want to see how we can better relate to God, how that we can approach Him, and not only He do something in us, but we do something in Him. All right, so that's what we want to see. And then the end, we'll look at some things that, and what I want to do, I want to say this. What he's facing is going on right now. What he was doing, where he was going through, it's happening right now. It's going on. And so, in fact, you could, after we read it today, you might want to take it home and study it just a little bit and see the things that are happening right now. And so, Renee is going to help me read the Bible because she can read a little bit. Well, she can read faster than me. Amen. That's just the truth. She can read faster, and she can be more eloquent than me. So so anyway, I asked her to help me read this. And so this is the story of Habakkuk. And what I'll tell you when to read. I got you all printed.
You want me to sound?
No, you can go. I'm just going to read the first. Now it says, the burden which the prophet Habakkuk saw. So he saw something and it burdened him. And he said, O Lord, how long shall I cry and will you not hear? Has ever felt like that? You're crying out and you're like, Lord, you're not hearing, you're not doing. Amen. Even cry out to you violence and you will not save. Kind of what's going on in our society today. Why do you show me no inquiry? Why do you show me iniquity? Excuse me. See, seeing all this stuff, all these bad sins that are happening going on, and cause me to see trouble. He's a prophet. He sees, and it's bothering him that he sees the demise of Israel happening. For plundering and violence are before me. There is strife and contention arises. So he's seeing all these things and it's a burden to him and he's troubled. Therefore, listen to this, the law is powerless and justice never goes forth. How many's felt that like in our country, that justice is no longer going forth? It's all these other things that are happening. And he said, for the wicked surround the righteous, therefore perverse judgment proceeds. How many can relate to that? That all these things are happening. And so he's saying, I'm looking at Israel and I'm seeing what's going on, But God, it doesn't seem like you're intervening or that you're doing anything. So then God responds. And so what you can do is you can read Habakkuk 5 through 11.
Look among the nations and watch. Be utterly astounded.
Excuse me, I'm sorry. This is God's reply to Habakkuk. All right? So I'm sorry.
Okay. For I will work a work in your days, which you would not believe, though it were told you. For indeed I am raising up the Chaldeans, a bitter and hasty nation, which marches through the breadth of the earth, to possess dwelling places that are not theirs. They are terrible and dreadful. Their judgment and their dignity proceed from themselves. Their horses are swifter than leopards and more fierce than evening wolves. Their charges charge ahead. Their cavalry comes from afar. They fly as the eagle that hastens to eat. They all come for violence. Their faces are set like the east wind. They gather captives like sand. They scoff at kings, and princes are scorned by them. They deride every stronghold, for they heap up earthen mounds and seize it. Then his mind changes, and he transgresses. He commits offense, ascribing this power to his God.
So God's saying to Habakkuk, here's what you're going to get to see, is that I'm raising up a more sinful nation than Israel to bring judgment against them. So Habakkuk, he replies, and what you'll do is you read 12 through 2:1.
Okay. Are you not from everlasting, O Lord my God, my Holy One? We shall not die. O Lord, you have appointed them for judgment. O rock, you have marked them for correction. You are of purer eyes than to behold evil and cannot look on wickedness. Why do you look on those who deal treacherously and hold your tongue when the wicked devours a person more righteous than he? Why do you make men like fish of the sea, like creeping things that have no ruler over them? They take up all of them with a hook. They catch them in their net and gather them in their dragnet. Therefore they rejoice and are glad. Therefore they sacrifice to their net and burn incense to their dragnet. Because by them their share is sumptuous and their food plentiful. For shall they therefore empty their net and continue to slay nations without pity? I will stand my watch and set myself on the rampart and watch to see what he will say to me and what I will answer when I am corrected.
So here's Habakkuk. He is shocked. You mean to tell me, God, that you're going to raise up a more sinful nation than Israel to correct them? That's your plan for the earth? He's like, and so what he does, he says, Lord, I don't get it. I don't understand this. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to go hide. Basically, I'm going to go hide in the rocks. And here's what I'm doing. God, I don't get it. I don't understand it. It does not make sense to me how you could do this. How you, God, could take a sinful nation and bring it against Israel. And they're nasty, ruthless people. And that somehow you're going to bring them against Israel to correct them, and somehow good's going to come out of it. And so notice what he said in that last, correct me. Lord, you're going to have to correct me because it doesn't compute. It just, God, I know you, this does not compute. Help me, God. And so then what happens is God in turn replies in Habakkuk 2, through 4, so you can read. Well, yeah, go ahead and read that, and then I'll make a little comment on that.
Okay, then the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain on tablets, that they may run who reads it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it will speak, and it will not lie. Though it tarries, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. Behold the proud, his soul is not upright in him, But the just shall live by his faith.
Now, what God's basically saying to Habakkuk, take this vision. You got to run. It's going to surely come to pass. He's like, oh, I can't imagine what he was thinking. Now, here's one thing that I noticed, okay? That God didn't give him all of the vision. What basically Habakkuk saw was all the bad. Look at all the bad. And what we'll see as we read on is because of Habakkuk's response to God, he saw what God was saying. But at the time when God spoke to him, he didn't see everything. And that can happen to any of us, that God would speak to us and we would think, oh my gosh, Lord, you know what's going on and how. Kind of like a guy, a prophet, come by to me one time and he said, he was giving all these real nice words, and he came to me and he said, you're going to come into a dark time, a dark season. I'm like, well, thanks a lot. You know, like I was like, you know, they say if the prophecy don't make no sense, put it on the shelf. I was putting that baby on the shelf. I was like, yeah, I don't know what this guy's saying, but I don't agree. But the truth is it come to pass. And after it come to pass, the Lord spoke to me and said, remember what he said a year ago? It's come to pass today. And I went, oh my gosh, Lord. And so Habakkuk didn't see everything because of the shockness of what God was saying about raising up this ruthless army against him, the Chaldeans. So he was shocked. But God, thank you, Lord, that he's merciful. Amen. Amen. He is so merciful that he goes on. And then Habakkuk finally sees the whole picture. See, sometimes God will speak things, we don't see the whole picture. That's why it's important how we approach him so that we can get the whole picture. All right? Y'all get that? We're all good? We're all going along? All right, here we go. All right. Renee, you read 2:5-14.
Indeed, because he transgresses by wine, he is a proud man, and he does not stay at home. Because he enlarges his desire as hell, and he is like death and cannot be satisfied, he gathers to himself all nations, and he heaps for himself all peoples. Will not all these take up a proverb against him and a taunting riddle against him and say, woe to him who increases what is not his, how long? And to him who loads himself with many pledges, will not your creditors rise up suddenly? Will they not awaken you who oppress you? And you will become their booty. Because you have plundered many nations, and all the remnants of the people shall plunder you. Because of men's blood and the violence of the land and the city, of all who dwell in it. Woe to him who covets evil gain for his house, that he may set his nest on high, that he may be delivered from the power of disaster. You give shameful counsel to your house, cutting off many peoples, and sin against your soul. For the stone will cry out from the wall, and the beam from the timbers will answer it. Woe to him who builds a town with bloodshed, who establishes a city by iniquity. Behold, is it not the Lord of hosts that the people labor to feed the fire and the nations weary themselves in vain? For the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea.
So I want you to notice what he said in verse 14. The earth. God is saying, here's what nations are going to do. Here's the way nations are going to act. And unfortunately, some of us may be in those nations that are acting like what he said. And I believe he prophesied that or told that to Israel. But said, here's God's plan. Here is the nation's plans, but here is my plan. That's why God told Habakkuk at the beginning, you're going to have to live by faith. When you see these nations doing these things, you have to live by faith. And so here's what the nations are, but here's what I'm going to do at the same time. And see, if we're not careful, we get our eyes on what the enemy's doing and we forget. The Lord is going to fill.
Amen.
The Lord is going to fill the earth with his knowledge.
Yes. Yes.
Hallelujah. Amen. All right. 15-20.
Woe to him who gives drink to his neighbor, pressing him to your bottle, even to make him drunk, that you may look on his nakedness. You are filled with shame instead of glory. You also drink and be exposed as uncircumcised. The cup of the Lord's right hand will be turned against you, and utter shame will be on your glory. For the violence done to you, Lebanon, will cover you, and the plunder of beasts which made them afraid, because of men's blood and the violence of the land and the city and all who dwell in it. What profit is the image that its maker should carve it? The molded image, a teacher of lies, that the maker of its mold should trust in it to make mute idols? Woe to him who says to wood, awake, to silent stone, arise, it shall teach. Behold, it is overlaid with gold and silver, yet in there is no breath at all. But the Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth keep silent before him. Huh.
So God gives this, tells Habakkuk about what's happening in the nations and how foolish man is that they make carven images and do all these things. And then he says to Habakkuk, basically, be still and know that I'm God. Be still and know that I'm God and that I'm in control. All these other nations are doing these crazy things. Even Israel's doing these crazy things. But know, be still and know that I am God. And so, now, and let me just say this. You know the thing that's happening with ISIS? How could this happen? What's going on? They got, well, you know what? They're doing all their crazy things. I believe one of the things that's happening is that all these Muslims that are leaving for the first time, going into Europe, wanting to come here, and I'm like, Lord, if our country wasn't in such a sad shape, we could let them in and preach the gospel to them, and they'd get saved.
Amen.
And that's what's happening. God raised up, whether we like it or not, God allowed ISIS to be raised up to scatter Muslims that never heard about Jesus, and now they're going. And I've got a missionary friend right now that is going to a refugee camp and preaching the gospel to Muslims.
Amen. Hallelujah.
And we thank God it's out of control. It's out of control. No, it ain't out of control. God knows what he's doing.
Yes.
That's why I said be silent. Listen to what I got to say. Get my perspective on the thing. Amen? And so then Habakkuk, he responds, if you're following along in your Bible, we're in three. Okay. So Habakkuk responds in verse 1 and 2, and he goes on to respond, and I'm going to let neighbor, but I want to read verse 1 and 2. And it says, Habakkuk the prophet responds, and he says, O Lord, I have heard your speech, and I was afraid. Thank God the fear of the Lord is going to return to the church. Amen. Lord, revive your work in the midst of the years. Talking about Israel. Lord, have mercy. Revive your church, God. Thank you. And then he says, and in your wrath, remember mercy. Remember with everything that's going on and everything that's happening, God be merciful. Be merciful.
Yes. Glory.
Which God is very merciful. Amen. God is so merciful. Okay, then he goes on. Now, here's what I want you to get. God speaks to Habakkuk and he's undone. And there's a dramatic change that happens in Habakkuk, because all of a sudden he's begin to get God's perspective on the thing. Now notices how Habakkuk approaches God. First he acknowledges God, then he asks two things, but then he begins to go on and talk to God about God. All right, read verses 3 through 12.
God came from Teman, I'm not sure how you say it, the Holy One from Mount Paran. His glory covers the heavens, and the earth was full of his praise. His brightness was like the light. He had rays flashing from his hand, and there his power was hidden. Before him went pestilence, and fever followed at his feet. He stood and measured the earth. He looked and startled the nations. And the everlasting mountains were scattered. The perpetual hills bowed. His ways are everlasting. I saw the tent of Cushan in affliction. The curtains of the land of Midian trembled. Oh, Lord, were you displeased with the rivers? Was your anger against the rivers? Was your wrath against the sea that you rode on the horses, your chariot of salvation? Your bow was made quite steady. Oaths were sworn over your arrows.
How far are we?
16.
You divided the earth with the rivers. The mountains saw you and trembled. The overflowing waters passed by. The deep uttered its voice and lifted its hands on high. The sun and moon stood still in their habitation. At the light of your arrows they went, at the shining of your glittering spear.
Amen. So what happens here is Habakkuk begins, because of the way he approaches God, he begins to get more revelation about the vision that God had given him, that it wasn't just for destruction, but it was for the salvation of man. Amen. That he began to see, so that when he would write the vision down, it would be clear. Yes, this is coming. Troubled times are coming. Distress on all sides. But God's going to fill the earth with his knowledge. And we will see salvation. We will see God's salvation, even in this time of destruction and things that are going back and forth. And that's where we've got to see. We've got to see, even though bad things have happened, bad things are going on, God, you're filling the earth with the knowledge of the glory of God, and people are going to come to Jesus. People are coming, and I'm not moved because of what's happening in the nations. I'm moved by what God's spoken to me. I see the vision. I see what God's doing. God's in control. God's in control. And if we would read it from... The truth is, folks, we win. I don't care how it turns out, we win. Amen. And so we have to see that. So God's got the end times laid out. He's got it in the Word laid out. And he says, there's going to be troubled times. It's kind of like, thank you, Jesus. I want to get off and run somewhere else, but I'm going to stay focused. God said, when he was telling the disciples, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, also believe in me. Amen. Well, you know what? All of those disciples, most were either crucified, Peter, because he didn't want to, he thought it was, he wasn't worthy to hang like Jesus.
Come on, brother.
Hung upside down. Die for the Lord.
Amen.
Gosh, Lord, help us. Yes. Amen, that we could see.
Yes.
Amen. Go on and...
You marched through the land in indignation. You trampled the nations in anger. You went forth for the salvation of your people, for salvation with your anointed. Mm-hmm. You struck the head of the house of the wicked by laying bare from foundation to neck. You thrust through with his own arrows the head of his villages. You came out like a whirlwind to scatter me. Their rejoicing was like feasting on the poor in secret. You walked through the sea with your horses, through the heap of the great waters. When I heard, my body trembled. My lips quivered at the voice. Rottenness entered my bones, and I trembled in myself, that I might rest in the day of trouble. When he comes up to the people, he will invade them with his troops. Though the fig tree...
I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
I want you to listen to Habakkuk's response, okay? Go ahead. It's 17 through 19.
Though the fig tree may not blossom, nor fruit beyond the vines, though the labor of the olive may fail, and the fields yield no food, though the flock may be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength. He will make my feet like deer's feet, and he will make me walk on the high hills.
That's good. Amen. You can. Well, we did it. I'm impressed. Now, let me just say this. I'm going to tell you about my prayer life. The worst thing about my prayer life, and the Lord showed, well, one of the things, God has always told me to pray. He said, Tom, I want you to pray. And then I felt like he wanted me to pray for revival. Then I said, well, if revival doesn't take place, then I'd kind of waste all my time praying. And so I didn't. I kind of walked away from that. And that was sad, to say the least. Because, see, I was wanting, you know, God. Well, the truth is, when you spend time with God, there's never anything wasted.
Yes. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
That's exactly right.
You know. So anyway, my prayer life has been developing over the years, grown, learned how to approach the Father. One of the things I had a problem with is I always had a problem with God, Father, because of the way I was raised. And one day Jesus showed me in a vision that he pushed me toward the Father and said, I want you to come to the Father in Jesus' name and begin to approach him. So as I did that, I grew in fellowship. And then there was a time where God said, you can share anything, your heart with me. So I'd share my heart with him, and I would, you know, tell the good and the bad. And then I'd tell other people, you know, share your heart with the Father. He knows the good and the bad, and so you might as well let him know. So if I'd get angry with people, I'd go out and tell God, you know, I'm angry with people and all this kind of stuff. And God was like, okay. So then what happens is through all this, and I still, I'll put it this way. There was a change that God began to press me about. Because sometimes I found out when I was praying, I was complaining. Because kind of like Habakkuk, Lord, look at this mess. You know, how could we, from when I was raised to today, it's like, and it's happened so fast, changes and what's going on. And so I'd find myself complaining about the situation I was in. And then I'd have to repent. Lord, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to complain. Oh, Lord Jesus, help me. And then I would, you know, then God be like, you know. Well, then he took me to this stage and he said, Tom, here's the way. And I'll say this. I am not perfected in this in any way, shape, or form. But what he began to do is he began to say, when you approach me in Jesus' name, when you come to me, I want you to begin to talk to me about me.
Amen.
And I was like, well, because sometimes you just feel whooped, you feel inadequate, you feel, you just, you know, the troubles that you see, the things that are going on, you're like Habakkuk. You got this burden and you're like, Lord, I don't know what to do with it. I don't know what's, you know, just troubles in your family and things that go on. You're like,
yes.
And so you want to just go say, Lord, what's the deal? What's going on? And then you know. And he said, here's your challenge, Tom. If you're going to grow to where I want you to be, I want you to begin your prayer talking to me about me.
Hallelujah.
So I've been doing my best that when I'm faced with circumstances and situations that I go and I say, Father, you're faithful.
Yes.
Lord, you're my Redeemer. You're my Savior, God. Like Habakkuk did. I begin to talk about the things. God, you've been so good to me. God, you've been so merciful, so kind in so many different situations. Lord, you're so forgiving and you're so loving. Well, then I get to a place and all of a sudden my perspective changes. And all of a sudden it's like I've got faith for the situation I'm in. I've got faith for the things that are going on. And then I can begin to say, oh God, have mercy on our country, God.
Yes.
In what's going on, in your wrath, God, have mercy, God. In the things that are happening, in the judgments that are taking place, God, have mercy, God. Have mercy on these things. And then what God does is he can bring revelation and understanding so that I can see into things and all of a sudden I get a revelation that, Lord, this is all about bringing people to Jesus.
Amen.
All these things that are happening is that your glory is being filled. The knowledge of the glory of God is filling the earth, God, that you haven't forgot about us, your people. You haven't forgot about our church. You haven't forgot, Lord, what you promised. And so what it's how we approach God is important. And so what I found out, if I'll approach him first in praise and worship, see, worship is telling God who he is. That's what worship is. that, God, I tell you who you are. That's who you are. And so as I begin to praise and worship, then I can step over once I get my thinking right. And once he gives me understanding, I can begin to share my heart in a right perspective. Do y'all understand what I'm saying? That I can begin to share with him the burden that's going on in here without complaining, without worrying, without feeling like I've got no faith, or when the devil's been beating on my head today, that I say, Lord, doesn't matter what all he's done, the battle that I've faced, that God, you are still worthy to receive praise, honor, and glory from me, your servant.
Amen.
And Lord, I thank you that you even have him in control. You know what? The enemy doesn't think that God has him in control, but he does.
Amen. Yes.
The devil's just not running through doing everything he can. He doesn't have that kind of authority. He would like to think he does, but he does not. God has him on a short leash. And the next thing that's going to happen is the enemies, God's going to take over the second heaven. And he's the Satan himself is going to come down in the form of a man called the Antichrist. And that's really when his demise happens. Now what's going to happen is he's going to run through the earth and he's going to go after the Jews and he's going to go after Christians. But if you read the end of the book, we prevail.
Amen.
So our thing is we need to learn how to approach God in difficult times so that we can get right perspective, so we can know how to pray properly, so that instead of walking away feeling bummed out, feeling like we don't have no faith, God's not listening to us, God doesn't care, all those kind of things that I've been through I don't know how many different times, that I can walk away saying, Lord, I know your plan. Your plan's for good, not for evil. Your plan is to get me through all this that's going on. Because, God, you're going to establish your kingdom on this earth. It is going to happen. It's going to happen. And the knowledge of God is going to fill the earth. Amen? And so I just challenge you as disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. Make sure when you approach God, and I know it's difficult, let me just say it, because sometimes things happen and go on, and it's just easy to go before God and begin to just say, God, I need this, I need that, you got to do this, you got to do that. But I'm just challenging you to first approach him and say, God, here's who you are. Here's just like Habakkuk did. He said, I was afraid, but Lord, you're so... And he just started telling God who he was. Started saying all these things. And then here's what I believe we'll end up saying. Even though things are happening, things going on, you know, though the tree does not bud, and there's no grapes in the vine or in my house, in my garage, whatever, though the olive crop fails and the fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the pen and no cattle in the stall, yet I will exalt you, Lord. Yet I will exalt you, God. I'll rejoice in the God of my salvation. The Lord is, listen to this, the Lord is my strength. And he has made my feet like hinds' feet and makes me walk on my high places. I'll learn how to walk above. Even if there's no sheep, no cows, no food, that I'll be able to walk above it. And they say, Tom, what do we do? Well, how many loaves do we have? Well, we got a couple fish and two loaves. Well, that's enough to feed all these people right here in this church.
Yes, sir.
And just watch God multiply it.
Yes, sir.
Because I learned how to approach God. Father, we thank you, Lord. Jesus. Father, I would pray as disciples of yours, as disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, Lord, that you would teach us. Lord, I know you love us. And Lord, when we come up with all our mess and our stuff, God, you still love us and you still bring us in close to your side. But God, Help us to learn how to approach you in such a way that, God, it would move your heart. That it would move your heart, God, in such a way that we could gain new perspective on where we're at, what's going on in our lives, what's happening to us, Lord, that all of a sudden we'd pray like Habakkuk prayed. Lord, there may be no fruit. Things may be not going the way I want them to go. Things not may not be happening the way I want to go. But I will exalt in you because you're the God of my salvation. And thank you, Lord, that you'll make these feet. You're the God of my strength, and you'll make my feet like hinds feet. And you'll make me walk above all the things that are going on in the nations, God. Because, Lord, I learned how to approach you just like Jesus did. And so, Lord, help us, God. All I can do, Father, I can say, help us, Lord, to take that which we've learned today and put it into practice, God. And I exalt you. I exalt you. I exalt you. Oh, Lord. I exalt you. I exalt you. I exalt you. Oh, Lord. And I exalt you. I exalt you. I exalt you. Oh, Lord. And I exalt you. I exalt you. I exalt you. Oh, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus. You want to do something? Okay. All right. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. The Lord's good. Amen.
Yes.
Okay. Oh. I don't know about you today, but God touched me. Whew, Jesus. Father, Lord, we just look to you, God, today. Lord, amen. Father, I just want to speak what you want to speak over people's lives, Lord. Any prophetic things that need to be said to people, Lord, in any encouraging words. Your name? What's your name?
Michael.
Michael. You just put a smile on God's face. You just, amen. And your responses and your tenderness of heart toward God, He takes joy in that, and it brings much pleasure to Him. And I see where there's been some things that happened against you, and I don't know necessarily when, but where it's almost like the enemy tried to do some things against your heart for you to shut your heart. And I just see where God's going to go in, because there's a compassion in you there's a tenderness in you that needs to be even brought out more and more. And I just see where God's going to bring a healing in that area to heal up that wound. It's like kind of like a little open sore that God, and that God's going to come in to where you'll find that you're going to be a man that's moved with compassion, that you're going to be a man that sees people hurting, and here's what you got to move with that compassion, and then let God show you what to do with it. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's feeling compassion in here for somebody, and you say, "Well, Lord, what to do?" And He say, "As you move, I'll show you." And so as you move out, God will show you what to do. But you're going to be zeroed in. God will give you, He'll have you zero in on people where you need to, where that compassion rises up. And then as you move toward it and as you move with it, God will show you what to do, how to pray, what to say, whatever it is that God wants you to do. So I see that's in you. So just move with it. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Man, we might as well get. I think that side might be a little sinning over there or something. I don't know. I like to come here and have a lot of fun. Amen. Hallelujah. What's your name, young lady?
Kim.
Kim. I don't know why. I just take your hand. Amen. Amen. Father, I thank you for Kim, and I thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for what you're doing in Kim and what you're doing in her life. I'll tell you what I saw, and then it's clear sailing for you, and that God has been teaching you how to fight. And I see what the Lord's, it's kind of like you're out on a sailboat and you're on this, like a sea of glass, but it was like you weren't moving, and then I just saw the wind of God hit your sails and you took off, and it's because you're learning to fight the good fight of faith. And the Lord wants you to know that you're a fighter. Keep it up. And what God's going to do is bring you in this next season where you're going to learn how to fight for others. You've learned how to fight for yourself. Now what God's going to do is take you into some situations to where you're going to learn to fight for others. And there may not be much recognition, but you got to realize it's because of the fighting that you did that helped them to get to the deliverance that they needed. Amen. So, and let me just say this. God's protecting you in this seasons of time, because the enemy would try to do some things against you and to you. And so I see there's a prosperity that God's going to bring to help you with some situations and things that you're going through. Are you in debt? A little bit? Yeah. Well, I just see where God's going to take up, like get rid of the debt to free you to be able to do some more things that's in your heart to do, because you're a giver and you like to give. Amen? All right, you're blessed. I mean, you're a blessing. Amen. You are blessed. Amen. Whew, Lord Jesus. You're awful quiet in here. Golly, it's making me nervous. Amen. Hallelujah. Joe, right?
Yes.
All right, Joe, come with me. Just follow me around. I don't want you necessarily to do anything, but I want, you were talking today in the prayer room. Mm-hmm. Is that what that's called, or is that called like something?
Good, yeah.
Good. Prayer room. Amen. That you're wanting the giftings. I just feel like God's going to, but you just kind of follow me. You just need to hear and pray with me and say, "Lord, what would you want to say?" And then listen on the inside that some of the things that I might say, you might hear the same thing. See, there's training. How I got trained, yeah, is I went around and I would say, a prophet took me around and he'd pray for people. And I'd be like, "Oh, Lord, what are you saying?" And I'd go, "Ooh.
Can I hear that?"
And I'd hear the same thing. And I'd be like, "Ooh," I'd be encouraged. And like the Lord's saying, "That's because you're hearing me." I'm like, "Whoa." So we want to use that gift that's in you. Yeah. That you can, like you said, you have a desire.
Yes.
It's there.
Yes.
Well, so all you do need is just a little bit of training. So you just follow me and just listen.
I can do that.
All right. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Amen. What was your name, young lady?
Tamara.
Well, I missed you last night, right?
Or... Yes, you messaged. Well, God messaged.
Now, you weren't here last night, right?
No.
Okay, and you weren't either, right? So both of you were backslid, just out? No. Now, are they related, sons or
cousins?
Oh.
Corey's, Tiffany's, and Price's mine.
Oh, okay. So Price is yours. So
yes.
What do you want me to tell him? No. Amen. Price. Now, how old are you, Price?
I'm 17.
17, going on 25. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Father, I thank you for Price and where you have him. Thank you, Lord. Price, I'm just telling you. Do you remember the story about Peter? Do you read the Bible any, or you remember the story about Peter when he, when God said, the enemy would like to sift you like wheat, but I prayed for you and you're going to make it? Do you remember that, or do you?
I don't remember that.
All right. Amen. Well, you know what? I just see where the enemy would like to sift you, but I'm telling you, people are going to pray. And I just see amen. You need to set your heart toward God, because I see where the enemy would like to try to come in and pull you aside to use you for his purposes. And I'm telling you, you don't want to do that. You want to go. And I just see where people's prayers and... in this season of time, it's important for you, Bryce, to know the Father. It's important, real important for you to... And like I said, when I first got saved, Jesus, because all of my prayers were to Jesus, because I was like, God, I don't, you know, I know you're there, but I don't quite know. I was a little bit concerned. I just didn't have the understanding about God as being the Father. And God wants to give you revelation about himself. And so I want you to put into practice, Father, I come to you in the name of Jesus. And look at yourself approaching God as your Father. And I see where God's going to help you to get more revelation, more understanding. And it's going to help you to keep your heart from what the enemy would try to pull and try to do in you and through you. And let me just say it. I hear some voices around you that are trying to pull you, but you resist in Jesus' name. Amen? You resist in Jesus' name, and don't let anybody pull you away from what the God's wanting to do in your life. Amen? Amen. I'm telling you, God wants to give you wisdom. Because, see, here's the thing. When people get deceived, we don't know it. You know, when deception comes, we don't know it. That's why God wants to make you aware of anything deceptive that comes your way, that you'll say, in your spirit, man, you'll say, no, that's not good. I think I'll pass on that. I won't do that. Amen? And so, Father, I thank you that you, God, are going to put a protection. I thank you that Mom and people in the church are praying and believing that, Father, even through a hard time, that it'll come out a winner, God. And I thank you for doing it, Father, in Jesus' name. What was your name again?
Corey.
You know, Corey, you know there's a call of God on your life, right? Amen. So, amen. You're all good. Now, how old are you?
I'm 16.
16, all right. Whew, I like these ages. Amen. So, Corey, and you know there's leadership ahead, right? Amen. I'm just trying to get zero in on the Lord, what the season you're in, the preparation you're in. And as you pray, even at your young age, learn to be led by the Spirit. Now, I believe what can happen is we can get a lot of things that would distract us. And I believe what God's going to do for you is He's going to, that there's some things God's going to ask you just to put down. Here's the word for you. Discipline yourself with certain things that would keep you away from hearing what the Lord has to say to you. Understand that? Amen. And so as you do that, you're going to learn to be one. You're going to be one. And let me just say this. You're going to learn how to prophesy by the hour. Amen. Now, I'm just speaking it. I'm laying hands on you, and I thank you, Lord, that God, I just see Him in days to come, because people will need it. Lord, I see people lined up, God, even in this church that needs prophetic words. And Lord, people like him and others in this place will prophesy. They'll give direction. They'll give comfort and care. Lord, they'll help them on their journey. And so, Father, I thank you that as he learns to walk in the Spirit, to be led by the Spirit of God, that, Lord, you'll use him in powerful ways. And I thank you for it, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Oh, I forgot. Did you get anything? Did you hear anything? Yeah, amen. Amen. How you doing, my love? She's a blessing. She is. Amen. Yes. Amen.
I didn't know I had a word for you.
Oh, well, good. That's why I came. Amen. That's why I came. Amen.
What I was seeing was, do you know Gerald Durstein?
I don't know him personally. I think I've seen him on TV or maybe.
Well, yeah. You know, you may have years ago.
Yeah.
He was a Mennonite preacher.
Oh, yeah?
But he's probably about your height or maybe even a little bit shorter. I was just seeing this like crazy. But anyway, when you're walking around up there, it was like, okay, what's going on? You know, that anointing is here. And one time I saw him, and I kept seeing this. I was seeing this on myself. I was seeing a dove on my shoulder. And but even as you walked around, I remembered a time when I saw him, and he was up in New York, up in the mountain area there. There's a property that belongs to Bradenton Christian Retreat is where his home church is. And he is a missionary to Israel and,
oh, amen.
And all over, you know, anyway. So he and his wife. Well, they came out of the Mennonite church, and there was a powerful move of the Holy Spirit in that church, and he was the pastor. And with the youth group, you know, doing a whole lot of stuff with the youth group, they were. Well, anyway, what happens is, one night, you know, when they were praying for a move of the Holy Spirit, they didn't really know what they were praying about in the Mennonite church, you know.
Yeah. So, hello.
And it stirred up. I mean, the kids are all laying down in the Holy Spirit and prophesying. You know,
wow.
The whole
amen.
Thing
amen.
Was going on anyway. So, you know, they ended up getting thrown out of the Mennonite church.
Craig, are you going to throw me out of the fellowship?
God had a plan in all of this, you know, for,
yeah. Amen.
For him to go international, yeah. And, yeah. And to start this Christian retreat in Bradenton, Florida. But God, you know, just provided all over the place for stuff. But anyway, we're moving into more of that kind of thing, even greater than what happened
amen.
Then.
Yeah.
But when I saw him at a camp meeting up in Hebron, New York, he was in a tent, and my husband and I were there, and he's preaching and sharing about Israel, his burden for Israel, and a white dove comes in. This is, in reality, comes in and sits on his shoulder.
Wow.
And then it sits there for a little bit, and it sits on his head. And he's, you know, trying to keep his focus.
Really?
Wow. And he just, you know, and he just keeps on, and I'm like, wow, you know, this is, well, somebody did have a camera and did photograph it anyway,
yeah.
but anyway, that whole scene was just, you know, and he said, finally, he just put his hand on his head because he's like, I don't want this. Anything else to happen? I'm in a way, I don't choose to right now. So anyway. So anyway, it did fly out of the tent. But it was just, I mean, it flew up, you know, to the lights and then went out the thing. You know,
amen.
It was like, so I'm just seeing that. And
so when I'm in a meeting and a dove comes on my head, I'll be like, okay, oh, Lord.
This is that.
Amen. Amen.
So anyway, glory to God.
Amen. So. I appreciate that. I think you spoke some things to me that I need. Amen. A confirmation. So, Father, I thank you, Lord. Lord, I thank you. I just tell you what I heard the Lord say is a double anointing of joy for you. Amen. Sometimes you don't feel like you do enough. Sometimes you don't feel like you're, that you don't measure up. That sometimes you feel like, gosh, there's so much to do. And God said, every time you obey me, it's enough. Daughter, every time you obey me, it's enough. And it causes me to react and do things that go beyond what you can even do. So, daughter, know that you're effective because you've learned to obey me and obey my heart. And so now, there he is. Joy. There's the Spirit of God right there. He is. Yes. Woo, Jesus. Yes, double portion, double anointing, God. And you just remember, every time you obey God, he does more than what you ever think. Amen?
I want to pray for my neighbor. I live next door to a Muslim couple.
Oh, amen.
Amen. Yes.
That's a challenge.
Well, Lord, we just pray for that couple. They just see the joy of the Lord. They don't have any joy, Lord. And they need some joy, God. And so, Lord, we just thank you for working in them. Working, yes, God. Salvation come in Jesus' name. Amen.
He's got about a dozen cars in the driveway and two guard dogs. It's different to a shepherd's in the front yard. It's like, oh, God.
Well, you keep praying. Amen. I love you.
Love you too. I bless you.
Amen. Thank you for the word too. I appreciate that. Okay. Oh, go ahead.
I got this picture of the church, Craig. So I want to give it to you.
Okay. I'm taking notes. I'll take them later.
Are you got that on?
Yes.
Okay. She's got it on.
Okay, all right.
This church is almost like a telecommunication.
Amen.
But it's like undercover. It's almost like I watched this PBS special, and it was about code breakers, like during, I think it was World War II, and how they would, and even now our friends, that's kind of like our center in Augusta, is communications and signal corps, and they're opening up all this computer big stuff. I don't know what's going on, but they're very central about communication. And I saw almost like the building in half, and behind the scene there were all these desks, and it was like old-timey listening to the radio, you know, the ham picking up messages and stuff like that. And I saw like many, many people within your congregation had that up to their ear, and God said they're code breakers. And then even though in the front, there was like a business going on, like a cafe or something like that, where people were coming in, eating and going out. So it was like regular church stuff. But in the heart of it, in the main part of the building, were people that were hearing like what was happening in the heavenlies as far as darkness, and getting their plans of the enemy and breaking it down so they could destroy the enemy. But also hearing what God is doing and saying in like in different nations, because there's just so many intercessors, and I felt like everybody was called And I know if you're called to be an intercessor, you know what I'm saying. Other people are going, what in the world is she talking about? But all of it can happen at the same time. But it's like almost like an honor thing. And when Jan shared that picture, you know, of the group, that is so much what was on my heart about this church, that we come in here to get refreshed and refueled and to make sure we're hearing what the Lord wants us to do. But really, it's out there. Our greatest ministry is who we hang out with during the week and the, you know, where you go to work and stuff like that, and to just to pray for people that are going through hard times and maybe give them $10 or, you know, whatever it is that we do. That's where we go and be the church. And but also in line of that is that communication thing that you guys, it's like it's going to be really hidden where the people won't recognize it and see it. They're coming out just to get a bite to eat and go out. But all this is the main part of what, it's like a real honor the Lord showed me, that don't think lightly of the calling of the intercessors. And I know Doreen are very key in this, but there's even going to be things the Lord's going to give you keys that will affect the nation and affect even outside, even higher purposes and plans of God. So,
thank you.
Amen.
I'm just trying to get direction here, and I think that's Craig's got something.
They're gone, so it'll just ring.
Oh, they're gone. Amen. Now, my heart, let me just say it. My heart is to minister over everybody. I love to minister over people, but sometimes the Holy Spirit will take you different ways. And what I felt that we were supposed to close the service, but if you want prayer, I will pray for you and we'll just see what the Lord does. So once we dismiss, what you can do is we'll just meet over there if anybody wants prayer, and I'll pray for you. Amen? And because I kind of just felt like it was, I don't know, I just feel led to say you can be released. So I don't know if you want me to do that or how you do that. Okay. Amen. Now there was one thing that I asked Craig. He said, is there anything you would like me to do? And I said, yes. And so maybe we'll do that. I asked Craig to stand on his head and spit out nickels. So maybe we could. Amen. So anyway, no.
And hanging upside down.
Yeah, he's going to get hung upside down too. That was right along with the prophetic word I had. Amen. Yeah. Amen. So anyway, it's been a pleasure being here with you all. You're such a hospital group.
Hospitable.
There you go. My mouth is about done. Now you can understand why I had my wife read. Sometimes I, but anyway, y'all been great. You're wonderful. I love y'all. I consider you the second family for, just my family. Amen. And glad that we can do this on a yearly basis, and maybe one of these days we can do more and see what God takes us. And amen. So, Father, I thank you, Lord. Now, let me ask you this. Who has been having trouble at night sleeping? All right, well, we got quite a few. We're going to break that today. Amen. We are going to break that. Father, in the name of Jesus, we break, Lord, and Lord, I raise my hand too. Amen, Lord. We just break this problem with sleep, Lord, where the enemy would try to come in and stir up things, and Lord, where we would have bad dreams, Lord, where things would happen that we'd wake up and not know why. And so, Lord, I thank you, God. We break because, Lord, you said in your word that you would let us sleep safe, satisfied, untouched by evil. And so, Lord, and you said you give your beloved sleep. And so, Father, I thank you for giving your beloved sleep in Jesus' name. Your beloved sleep in Jesus' name. Your beloved sleep in Jesus' name. And Lord, well, this is funny. I just sense God's healing a leg, foot, ankle, something, Lord, in your Amen. Well, just amen. Anybody else? I guess you can stand up. She stood up. If you have a problem with your leg, something going on, amen. Just okay. If you don't lay hands, amen. Get around the people. Let's say, I didn't know this was going to happen. We'd break out in a little bit of healing here. But lay hands on the people that got their, well, she, why don't you, somebody lay hands. And, amen, got their hands back on her back there. So, Father, we thank you, Lord, for your healing power, God, in Jesus' name. For healing that, God. Somebody also in your side, been like a side ache or something in here. What side's this? Right side? Or you've just been having some pain, maybe in your stomach. That you, brother? All right, somebody lay hands on him. And amen. Thank you, Lord. I'm just telling you, the healing anointing is here. And so just if you need healing in your body, someone's neck, Lord, back in your neck, back here, just lift your hand and then just you. All right, well, come up here, Tiffany, pray for him. people in their lower back, just been having problems in your lower back. Amen. Father, raise your hand. Let somebody pray for you. This is body ministry right now. Thank you, Lord. Anything else, Lord? Amen. Jesus. Now, let me just say this. The people that are laying hands on you represent the Lord Jesus Christ. They are there in his stead. Or what we could say, he is now in bodily form through them. Amen? Understand that? Okay, now I want you to ask the person that you're praying for, what is it that I'm praying for? Just... All right. Now just begin to pray. Thank you, Lord. We pray, God, over them in Jesus' name. We pray over them, Lord, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Now, in Jesus' name, thank you, Lord, for healing them right now, in Jesus' name. Now, how many would say pain's gone, something's happened, you could tell something happened in your body? Raise your hand. Amen. One back there. Amen. Who else? Raise your hand. Something's happening. Amen. All right. So, Lord, we just thank you for your healing power in this place today, God. Ooh. I'll just say this. Somebody with their cheekbones or something where maybe it's hard to chew or there's been some kind of pain in your cheekbone, just get somebody raise your hand and then just let somebody pray for you or go to somebody, let them pray for you. Father, we just thank you, God, in Jesus' name, for taking care of these problems today. Because of your great kindness, your great mercy, and Lord, we thank you that by your stripes we were healed. It's already paid for, already done. And so, Lord, we receive it as done. I'll just say this, Susan. I just kind of looked back at you, and I saw where the healing power of God is on you, and it's just kind of going through you. And so just receive that. Just receive, amen. Thank you, Lord, that anointing that's on you right now. Amen. Don't settle for something that God hadn't given you. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. So we say amen. Everybody say amen. Amen. All right, you're dismissed. You can go eat lunch.